Now, we look at the second reading, which, as you know, follows its own rhythm. Sometimes it blends easily with the first and third, the Gospel. Sometimes not so. We're still in the letter to the Philippians. We're in chapter 4, which is the last chapter. And it's mostly telling the Philippians, I'm okay with whatever happens, you see. He's thanking them because they sent him a donation. And he's saying, thank you, even though I'm used to, you know, I can get along on nothing if I have to. So he starts, I know how to live in humble circumstances. I also know how to live with abundance. That's death to self, isn't it? Oh, right, I got a steak tonight, you know? Oh, lousy, I got a hamburger, you know? No, it's the same. They're both gifts from God. And that's what he's saying. God loves me a lot. I had steak 3 times this week. You can't draw that conclusion. All you can conclude is that God saw to it you had steak 3 times. Maybe he's trying to get you sick of it. Anyway. I now live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Still, it was kind of you to share in my distress. He's at the end of the letter, and it's sort of a, this is the thank you part of it, you see? He's saying, I'm really glad you sent me stuff. And I'm not saying I don't need it. I'm just saying honestly, when it's here, I'm grateful. When it's not here, I'm okay. Which is the ideal, isn't it? If I'm only happy when I'm in pain, I have a funny idea of God. If I'm only happy when I have steak and scotch, I have another funny idea of God. Our life is a rhythm. And Paul is saying, however it turns out, that's fine. Now, our text goes right from there to talk about, my God will fully supply whatever you need. But I'm going to read for you, that is, it skips verses 15 to 18. The editors have to do this because save time. You know, you got to get the people out in the parking lot empty before the next crowd comes, so you can't have it too long. But you could have them a little longer than some of the ones we have, because they don't make any sense. Really, they're too short. The part that was left out goes like this. You Philippians indeed know that at the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the preaching, see, when I left Macedonia, remember that in Acts? Paul was over there, and the Macedonians, he had a vision of a Macedonian saying, come over here and help us. And you couldn't mistake a Macedonian because of the way they dressed. Even in the dream, you'd know that. And so, for the first time, at least in Paul's ministry, the first time the gospel reached Europe, and he went to Philippi. And it turned out to be one of his favorite, probably his favorite community. Even though they had problems there, they were arguing, and Evodia and Syndicate, two women leaders, were having fights. And he said, I appeal to you, my brother, probably the pastor of the whole thing, help these women out. They're great women. And they've done marvels in serving the gospel. Now they're at loggerheads. Help them out. Now, we don't have that part of the reading, but this is the part that goes 15 to 18. You Philippians indeed know that at the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, not a single church shared with me in an account of giving and receiving. A lot of technical Greek financial terms in here. Except you alone. For even when I was at Thessalonica, you sent me something for my needs, not only once, but more than once. It is not that I am eager for the gift, rather I am eager for the profit that accrues to your account. You see, he's using financial. You know, you made a good investment in helping me, because God will repay you abundantly. That was a good investment, and I'm glad for you that you made the investment. You see how mystics look on things like this? You know, thanks a lot for your donation. See ya. No, I'm glad because God will remember this and reward you. And that's not just la vita politica. No, that's a vision of life and human relationships. I have received full payment, apeki, which is like, when you sign on and say, I've received this. For the word slips my mind right now. But it's acknowledging that I've received the goods, whatever that word is in English. I am very well supplied because of what I received from you through Epaphroditus. And now, this is what he calls this gift, a fragrant aroma, which is a new Old Testament term, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Now you see, we can have a, quote, mystical idea of the goods of this world, meaning, oh, we don't pay any attention to them. You will as soon as you get hungry. So it's kind of silly. But there are the sort of pseudo-mystics who think, but then you get the other pseudo-folk who are raising money for the good of the church, don't you know, except they take their vacation money out of it. You know? And it's not either of those. It's a gift given in the name of Christ. And this is very important because, you see, it's an acceptable sacrifice. We don't sacrifice bulls and cows and stuff, but we sacrifice ourselves and our well-being and our cash for the help of other people. And that's part of the gospel. You know, you have this wonderful line there in 1 John 3:16. I think I've quoted it before. In this we know the love. We know tin agapin, the love, that he laid down his life for us. That's a sacrifice pleasing to God, right? Therefore, we should lay down our lives for one another. Then he gives an instance. If someone sees his brother in need and closes his heart to him, how can you say that the love of God is in that person? It's not. Brothers, let us not love in speech and tongue or word, like, you know, but in deed and in truth. Now, this is important. You see, let us not, give, serve, lay down our lives by talking about it. Or even after you've done it, really, don't talk about it. Let the Lord talk about it. He's telling everybody in heaven, you know what Joe did? He just gave $5,000 to this thing. Isn't that wonderful? Let God talk about it. Don't you say anything. Forget it. You see? And then, but if you don't give anything, how can you say the love of God is in you? You're seeing somebody or you know of somebody. Of course, in our world, this shrunken globe, we know exactly where the starvation is. Do we do anything about it? So there he says, you see, let us love in ergo ke logo, in deed and in truth. Ergo ke aletheia. That means indeed, that's clear, right? Do something. Now, it has to be, I can remember living with a community that lived by begging, and a poor couple, sent like $3.86 or something. And they said, we made a habit of turning off all the lights on our house the minute we didn't need them. And we saved $3.86 from our electric bill. So we're happy to give that to you for the serving of the poor. The poor. They're not poor. Of course they are. But it's always the poor that have a sense for the poor. I can remember, I don't think they do it still in Canada, but they used to put money aside during Lent. And then as they came up during the ceremony of kissing the cross, they put the money in a basket on either side of the cross. Now, in the parish that I helped out, it was a tiny little parish, most of the men worked out in the bush. It's the hardest work known, and it's the one that consumes more of your appetite. You're so high. I used to work in the bush a lot up there. And you come in from the morning, you are so hungry and so cold, and of course, the top of your trousers is wet from walking around in snow. Boy, you just want to eat. Now, most of these men smoked. You know what they did for Lent? These poor people. They all gave up smoking for Lent. Then they calculated what they would have spent on cigarettes. And when they came to kiss the cross, they put that in the basket. Now, don't you think Jesus is proud of them? You know, there's a man after my own heart. You see, this is the atmosphere in which Paul is writing, you see. So when we give and serve in truth, it means, in the Johannine terminology, truth is the revelation of the Father. When we give like that, we reflect the Father and give people a notion of who He is. You can read yourself in Matthew 5:16, I think. Let your light shine before men. Let them see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Thank you, Mr. Jones, for your $3 million donation. No. Just take it and let God thank you. Of course you thank them. I don't mean that. But I mean, you see, to give in truth means to give in a way that reveals the Father. So it's free, it's warm, it's loving, it's generous, and it is discreet. Our Lord, our Father, holds this whole universe together every second. How many times have we ever thanked Him for that? It's quite discreet. Before the sun comes up in the morning, without a trumpet blaring, saying, "Today, God will give you sunshine. Oh, thank you, God, thank you, God." He doesn't do that, does He? And yet, I can give 35 cents to the community chest, or whatever they call it now, and expect everybody to blow trumpets. That's what He's saying here, you see. An acceptable sacrifice, pleasing in your sight. So then, the text continues, and this part is in our liturgical text. My God will fully supply whatever you need, in accord with His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father, glory forever and ever. Amen. And so, this man is not a good fundraiser. He's a good apostle. He's fixated on preaching the gospel. Now, I need boat fare to get from where you are to get to the next spot. So I need $135. You give it to me, it's going to get that boat, you see, so I can ride on that boat. It'll sure be walking, especially on the water. But you see, it's this generosity. And we can learn a lot from the way Paul handled money. He took up a big collection for the poor in Jerusalem, remember? And then he said, "I'm not handling it. There's two brethren here, and they're being accompanied by others, and they're going to bring it to Jerusalem. So nobody can say, I scraped some off the top on my way." Mystic though he was, he never lost his common sense.